So we're in this series titled 2020, and 2020 is more than just a calendar year. 2020 can also speak of our ability to see clearly. Do you have the sense of clarity in your life for what God has in store for you this year? Do you have a sense of awareness in your life for what God has in store for you personally this year? That's the kind of clarity we're looking at. I'm not talking about resolutions that we make or goals that we set. Those are fine, but that's not what I'm talking about. What we're talking about is God's purpose for your life and God's goals for your life. We looked at the scripture last week, but it says that you can make many, many plans. We all make plans, especially during the first of the year. We set our resolutions, we set goals, we make plans. This is where we are, this is where we want to be. We always set plans in our lives, but scripture goes on and says, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. In other words, as we said last week, but I want to remind you and put it down here again, that is that God has a plan and a destination for your life this year. And we need to know that. We need to be in touch with that. Our life is not about our resolutions and our goals. Our life as Christ followers is about God's resolutions and God's goals for us, God's plan, God's purpose for you and for me. It's not about just what we want to do. The question is, what part do you and I actually play in God's plan being carried out in your life? What part do you play? Because there are some people, they believe that, hey, I'm just going to live my life, and you know, if God wants to do something, then he'll just have to make that happen. It's up to him. In other words, what we say is we play no part in God's plan for our lives. We're just along for the ride. The problem is the book of Ephesians reminds us, says, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't act thoughtlessly. Don't just go with the flow. Don't just go along for the ride. Understand what the Lord wants you to do. In other words, our actions do matter. Your actions matter. How you live your life matters. So if our actions matter, then we need to be in tune with what God is doing in our lives because we want to be in sync. We want to play a part. We want to do what we're supposed to do if God's going to do what he wants to do. If that's the case, we need a clarity for life. And we need this clarity for life, first of all, that says this, that gives us faith in a powerful God. We need a clarity as Christ followers. We need a clarity in life for a faith in a powerful God, not just a manageable God, not a God that's in a box, but a God that is powerful and a God who is greater than any box that we could ever create. Where nothing, absolutely nothing, clouds our judgment or brings confusion in our life. We stop allowing fear into our lives. And in order to prevent fear from clouding our judgment, we need a faith in a God who is powerful and more powerful than all the things that we face. We need that. If we don't have faith in a powerful God, then we're not going to ask God for great things, and we're just going to succumb to whatever it is that we're going through as if we're the victim. There's no clarity in that. We also need clarity for life that gives us guidance from a personal God. God's not just distant, but he's with us and he's personal. A lot of people are going to be making big decisions this year. You don't even know what decisions you're going to be making, but you are going to be making big decisions. And we need guidance for those decisions in our lives. We need a God who is personal with us and gives us the guidance that we need every single day. We also need a clarity in life that gives us courage from a present God, a God who is with us. And we need courage because he is with us. So in other words, we need a sense of confidence and courage to face the enemy that maybe you and I have forgotten. And the enemy, he seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. And so if the enemy seeks to kill, steal, and destroy, we need to have courage with a God who is present with us to face the enemy that we face. We need to be willing and able to stand on God's word, to hold on to God's promises. So the clarity that I'm talking about is not having all the answers, and it's not about knowing what the future holds, because we walk by faith with God in this. But the clarity I'm talking about happens when we're not distracted by our flesh. The clarity that I'm talking about is we live life that is free from the distractions of our flesh. And when I say our flesh, that's what God calls our natural desires and appetites, to sin or overindulge in an area that we shouldn't overindulge in. And what happens is When we overindulge, it clouds our judgment. These appetites that we have, our desires, our human tendency is at odds with God's desires that are within us. And in turn, those things cloud our judgment. Galatians tells us that the Spirit, God's Spirit, and you disagree, God's Spirit and your desires are enemies of each other, and they are always fighting each other and keeping us from doing what we feel like we should. I don't know if you've ever been to a place in your life where you know the right thing to do, but you felt too weak to do it. You know what the right thing to do is. I've talked to people and I said, why would you make that decision? I know, Dave, I'm just weak. Listen, I understand that we are human and we have these weaknesses, but what it shows us is that our human desires are stronger than God's Spirit within us. So our appetites keep us from doing what pleases God. They cloud our spiritual sense, our spiritual senses, as you would, and they become so strong that it prevents us from even knowing what God wants us to do. That's the kind of thing that we have to prevent. Clarity also happens when we know when God is speaking to us. We all need to be in touch with God's voice as Christ followers. Jesus said in John, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You can't follow God if you're not in tune with his voice. And I feel like there's so many Christians that live without the ability, they're not tuned in to hear God's voice in their life. With all the things that this world is trying to do to grab our attention, we need God's voice to be greater than the culture that we live in. We need God's voice to be greater than the distractions that are around us. And knowing God's voice is essential for us, for our lives as Christians. Clarity also happens when we're following the Spirit's leading in our lives. It's not just hearing God's voice, it's also following God's Spirit when he leads us. Romans 8 tells us that all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. In other words, you can't be a child of God and not follow the Spirit's leading in our lives. Because the spiritual life, the life of a Christ follower, is not about willpower. It's not about what you can do. It's about God's power within us. We can't live a divided life and experience clarity. We can't have one foot in the world and one foot into the kingdom of God and say that we have clarity in our lives. The Bible talks about that's a kingdom divided. And that kind of kingdom doesn't stand. Galatians goes on and says this, that we walk by the Spirit. When we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Listen, when we choose to walk by the Spirit of God, then what it does is it deals with our appetites that we feel are out of control, feel like things that we have to listen to one. This gives us an opportunity for us as individuals to put God first, to listen to his voice and do what he's asking us to do. So we walk by the Spirit of God within us. And when we do that, we won't be distracted by the things that are around us. Last week, we looked at fasting and how important that was and why fasting brings clarity. And first of all, I just want to touch on a few things so that we're on the same page, because fasting is so important that disconnects us from this world. And first of all, fasting brings clarity because it establishes what is essential in our lives. I talked to people and I said, "Hey, how's the fast going?" And they're like, "Oh, you know, it's good. I want to do this. I want to give up this, but I can't. There's just no way. I can't do that. It's too important." It is. What happens is we miss it, but a lot of times fasting shows us what we think is essential in our lives. And sometimes what we think is essential is not essential. People will say that I can't live without phone or Facebook or Instagram or In-N-Out. I don't know. Whatever it is. I don't know what it is. But whatever it is that we feel that we can't live without, the truth is that we absolutely can. We just choose not to. And I put this on anybody, as I said last week, that fasting calls us to separate ourselves from the world, to disconnect from the world. The problem with us, though, I think, is we don't want to be disconnected. We like the things that we like. We like the things that control us because we like them. And that's important for us to understand, that when we say, "I can't give this up because it's too valuable, it's too important," that we're hurting our spiritual lives. We're establishing a value on something that has no value. Fasting also brings clarity because it deals with the distractions that dominate our lives. Our appetites and our desires for things become greater than our desires for God. They become distractions to us. Fasting also brings clarity because it corrects our connection to this world, as I mentioned just a little bit ago. Our human nature naturally seeks to be connected to this world, and that's why we constantly need to realign our lives in this area. So what we're doing today is, after looking at fasting, we're looking at something else that is going to definitely bring clarity into our lives. We have to, and we touched on it last week, but even more so we want to dive into it this week because it's so important, and that is how prayer brings clarity into our lives. God says this in Jeremiah. He says, "Call to me, and I will answer you. I will tell you wonderful and marvelous things that you know nothing about." I want you to hear that. Call to me, and I will answer you. I will tell you wonderful and marvelous things that you know nothing about. Talk about clarity. That's exactly what we're speaking about. There are things in our lives that we have no idea, we have no knowledge of. We don't know what to do. There's a sense of clarity that we need. And God says, if you want that clarity, call on me. God listens to you. If you think about that, it's just amazing to me that God would value us enough to listen to us. In fact, his ear is tuned in to your voice. Like a parent who has their ear tuned in to their child, they say that mothers can hear a crying baby out of a group of crying babies and know it's theirs that's crying. Men don't have that ability. We're just not that tuned in, I guess. But they say that women have that ability. And that's exactly how God is, that God has his ear turned and tuned in to you. He's waiting on you to call out to him. Prayer connects us to God like nothing else. The psalm says God is there listening for all who pray and all who pray and mean it. So if we look at it and we go, man, prayer connects us to God like nothing else. What does it show us when we don't pray? Not in a guilt situation, not in a saying where I'm trying to bring you shame, but what does it say when we're not praying? And I think this is an important fill-in. It's this: our lack of connection with God reveals our lack of faith in God. I mean, it's real easy to say I'm too busy and it's all these things we all have. I mean, whether you're a plumber or a pastor, everybody has their excuses. I'm not saying they're justified. I'm not saying that they're good. But our excuses just show that we're not connected to God as we could be. It shows that we're too connected to this world than we should be. So let's look at what prayer is so that we're on the same page. Prayer is simply your conversation with God. Your conversation. It's nothing more. You can make it more, but prayer is a conversation with God. And here's what's important, and that's this. Every relationship requires conversation. And every conversation requires the input of more than one person. If there is just input from one person, they call that nagging, right? Don't look at your spouse when I say that. When there's just input from one part of the relationship, that's nagging. Conversation requires at least two people interacting and sharing conversation. Prayer, conversation and prayer is not just talking, it's listening. It's about having honest conversation. So when we pray, we need to be real with God and we need to be honest with God. God has made you the way that you are. He understands you. He wants to have conversation with you. And people ask, well, how long should I pray and how often should I pray? The truth is, it should be an ongoing conversation. Paul says never stop praying. It doesn't mean that we're always on our knees. It means it's an open-ended conversation that we're talking with God as we go throughout the day. As we go through our life, there is no amen. There is no end to the prayer. It is an ongoing conversation that we bring God into the activity of our lives. Real prayer is driven by relationship, not need or crisis. Real prayer is driven by relationship, not need or crisis. And I'm not saying that we should not ask God for what we need. We definitely should. There is no doubt that God wants us to ask for what we need. In fact, I think that the greatest moments in our lives a lot of times are when our inadequacies meet God's abundance. That's an awesome time in our lives. But we need to remember this, that you were created for relationship with God. And just like God walked with Adam in the cool of the evening every day, he did that because he was looking for conversation. He wanted time with Adam. And God does the same thing with us. He wants that. And somehow we don't make it a priority. I believe this, that God's provisions, I mean, we want to ask God to meet our needs, but I believe that God's provisions for our needs are a byproduct of our relationship with Him. Because if there's no relationship and all we're doing is just asking for stuff, God becomes a genie in a bottle, and we know that that's not what He is. Relationship connects us to God and brings clarity that we need. So how does this happen? First of all, this is really important because what prayer does is it draws us close to God. It draws us in. I mean, God wants this relationship, and it draws us in to be intimate with Him. Like no other thing that we could do. It also, prayer gives us a confidence in God, because when we pray and we pour out our heart, there is a confidence that God is faithful because we have spoken with God and we've heard from God. Also, prayer allows us to live dependently on God. We're relying on Him. We're not just out doing life on our own. We're not making our own plans, our own dreams. We're not going about this on our own and then turn to God just when things get tough. We're about bringing God into every day of our lives and living dependently. We need His input in our lives. David prays this bold prayer, and it's a prayer that really connects us to God. It's a prayer that we need. What happens is it allows us to be honest with God. It kind of shows our need for God. You've heard it before, but I want to read it again. It's Psalms 139. And here's what David's saying. He's saying, God, search me and know my heart. Know my heart. I want to pause right there. I just want to remind us that when David says, know my heart, he's not saying, hey, God, know my actions. You know, listen to my mouth, my conversation. Hey, God, you know my thought life. And God, you know this part, and you know how I treat people as I rule in this kingdom that you've given to me. You know how I treat my spouse and my kids. You know, what he's saying is, know my heart, because out of our heart comes everything. How we treat people, the words that we use, how we come across to others, whether we're patient, whether God is in charge, or whether we're in charge. And he's saying, God, I want you to know me thoroughly, and I want you to know the very core of who I am. I want you to know my heart. He says, test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. In other words, Father, don't lead me along my path. Lead me along your path for my life. Looking for clarity. This is the kind of prayer that draws us close. It's the kind of prayer that deepens our relationship with God. And it, again, provides the clarity for life that we need. David says, search my heart. He's saying, God, no mask, no charades. Point out the areas of my heart and my life that you want to change. He's saying, know my anxious thoughts. Know the things that I fear, God. And here's why he says that. Because what we fear most reveals where we trust God the least. And he's saying, God, know my anxious thoughts. Know those things that I fear in life. This is like brutally honest. God, uncover my sin. You know all the energy that we spend on masking and covering up our sins before others. All those things, all the time and all the energy we spend in covering up. David says, uncover my sin. In other words, God, what is it that I've tried to rationalize in my life? God, what is it in my life that I've tried to excuse? What is it that I've made excuses for in my life that I shouldn't have? God, where is it that I have been most defensive? And then he says, lead me in your plans. Again, not my plans. God, what do you have for my life this year? That's where I want to be. God, what do you have for my life today? I don't know if you've done that, but you get up in the morning and you say, God, I don't know what you have in store for me today, but I want to be a part of what you're doing today. I want to be where you want me to be. And I want to do my part in getting there. So this is how prayer brings clarity, and they're really quick. Prayer replaces worry. You want clarity, you can't have worry. You can't have anxiety because it clouds our judgment. It clouds our perspective. Worry is dangerous. It prevents us from the clarity that we need. What worry does is it creates a scenario without God's activity in your life. Worry looks at an issue that is to come without God's presence there. Why would we look at an opportunity? Why would we create a scenario like that when we know that God says that He is with us? See, when I would say most of the time it's because we're not praying about the situation. Because God will, when we're listening to God, He reminds us, hey, I'm going to be there. I understand that's a big hurdle, but I'm going to be there. Don't create a scenario without my activity. Paul says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worry, pray. And then he goes on to say, let God know your concerns. I like how the New Living Translation says it. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Here's the thing. Prayer allows God to change our anxious thoughts. Prayer also brings clarity because prayer relinquishes control. I mean, we're control freaks. We like to control our lives. Paul says, goes on in that scripture, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In other words, take your fears, take your worries, take these anxieties and turn them over to God. Let go of them. Give them to Him. Let Him have control. What this does when we relinquish control, it nurtures our trust in God. And trusting God brings clarity that we need. Prayer also brings clarity because prayer creates contentment. Spending time with God reminds us that all that we have is from God, that He has provided everything that we need. He has blessed us with all that we have. And prayer reminds us that our greatest need is God, not things. We see it in Psalms 23, where David says this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have no wants because God is the provider and the shepherd of my life. Without contentment, we have no clarity. And the reason is because we view life through these lens of dissatisfaction. We view life through the lens of frustration and envy. And contentment allows us to recognize that this world does not satisfy our needs. Only God satisfies our needs. The last one here is prayer gives us clarity because prayer provides confidence in God. If you want clarity in life, if you want to know that God is not just present, but you want to know what God's plans are for your future and you want to have a sense of awareness of what God wants to do in your life, there has to be a sense that God is, that you're confident in God and His faithfulness. And prayer forces us to recognize that God gives us the strength to face all that we will ever encounter. Whatever it is that you're encountering in life that is maybe causing fear, causing doubt, whatever it might be, we have to understand that there is nothing so great that God is not greater still. Seriously, I mean, to have this confidence, that's what we're talking about. There is nothing in your life that is so great that God is not greater still. Philippians, Paul says this, I can do everything, anything, through Christ who gives me the strength. I mean, listen, if Christ is not your strength, then you can't do anything. You can't make it through anything. He's saying, when Christ is your strength, He can give you the strength to face anything because there is nothing so great in your life that He is not greater still. See, prayer gives us this perspective that God is greater than everything we face. It provides us with clarity because we're not overcome with fear. It gives us confidence that provides the strength that we need. And here, God wants relationship with you. God wants conversation with you. He wants us to come close. This is the last fill-in on these notes. I think it's important about us coming close to God and how important prayer is. But it says this, prayer doesn't move God towards us. Prayer moves us towards God. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know how important or how important prayer is. I don't know how your conversation is with God. But I know this. God wants conversation with you. God wants you to come in. He wants you to come close. He wants you to experience not just His love. He wants you to experience His presence. He wants you to have clarity for your life in all that He wants to do. He wants to be the priority in your life that you are
in His.
I believe that deep within us there is a desire. We want a better connection with God. I'm thoroughly convinced that every person here wants a better connection with God. That's why you're here. You're here to come close to God. You're here to experience God. But it's more than a Sunday thing. It's an everyday thing. So my question is, how is your conversation with God? How is your connection? Is your conversation with God a priority in your life? Remember, God is there listening for all who pray, for all who pray and mean it. I want to encourage you today that you would make a commitment to God, that you would make your relationship with Him a priority in your life. And the way that you'd make that a priority is that you would elevate the importance of this conversation. And more than putting God first at the beginning of the year, that you want to put God first every day of your life, and you want to give this conversation more of a priority. I'm not asking for a commitment to me. I'm not asking for a promise to me. I'm asking for a promise and a commitment to God. He's the one that created you for this relationship. He's the one that wants you. He's the one that wants you close. He wants the intimacy. If you were Adam, He would have walked with you in the cool of the evening to have conversation with you, because He values relationship. Father, we come to You today, and You know our hearts, and You know our lives, and You know what's going on. You know the weaknesses of our flesh, and maybe that we have not prioritized this relationship as we should, and obviously maybe we've not made prayer and this conversation as important as it should be. Father, we need clarity that provides us faith in life. Father, we need clarity that provides for us the guidance that we need, the confidence that we need. Father, we know that You have great things in store for us, not just this year, but even today. As we walk out of this building, there are things that You have in store for us, and we need to be in tune with Your Spirit, that we can hear Your voice and be responsive to the Spirit's leading in our lives. So, Father, I just pray for each one of us that we make a commitment to You to make prayer and this conversation a greater importance. Father, we want to prioritize You in our lives. Father, I ask for power. I ask for strength. I ask for clarity. Father, as Jesus prayed for us, may we be in the world but not of the world. May we know You, and may You know us thoroughly. In Jesus' name, amen.